An automated compliance calendar won't keep your lab accredited, a named owner will. The assessor is standing at the bench asking your analyst to show them how a piece of equipment was calibrated, and the answer is somewhere in a spreadsheet, an email from the calibration supplier, and the memory of a technician who left in March. You have the records. You just can't put your hand on them in the 90 seconds the question allows. That's how a lab with a perfectly good quality system still walks away with a finding. So you decide to automate. Reminders for every calibration, every competence review, every internal audit, every document review date, firing well ahead of time so nothing lapses. It's a sound instinct, and the rest of this guide shows you how to build it cheaply. But before the first reminder, understand what you're actually buying. Automation doesn't make you accredited. It makes a competent person's job easier. If you skip the competent person, you've just built a faster way to miss things. The opportunity. The gain here isn't saving admin hours, though you will. It's removing the silent lapse, the calibration that expired 3 weeks ago that nobody noticed, the competence record that was never renewed, the document review date that slid past while everyone was busy. ISO/IEC 17025, the standard SANOS accredits you against, expects you to manage these obligations and show you're on top of them. A lapse you catch ahead of time is a non-event. A lapse the assessor catches is a finding. A shared calendar with reminders at 30, 14, and 7 days out turns every recurring obligation into something you act on before it becomes a problem, instead of something you rediscover during the audit. For a small lab that usually means one person stops carrying every due date in their head, which matters enormously the day that person is on leave or resigns. The point isn't the technology. It's that the lab's compliance no longer depends on a single human's memory holding. How it works. Start by listing every recurring obligation, by type, not by things due this month. For most labs, that list includes instrument calibration and verification dates, internal audits, management reviews, document and SOP review dates, competence and training reviews for each analyst, and proficiency testing rounds. Write each one down with its cycle, monthly, quarterly, annually, and who currently knows about it. You don't need new software to start. A shared Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar, visible to whoever handles quality, gets you most of the way, one recurring entry per obligation, each with three reminders at 30, 14, and 7 days out. Put the detail in the entry, not just the date, the instrument ID, the calibration supplier, the SOP number, the analyst's name. A reminder that says, calibration due, sends you hunting, one that says, balance B204, due March 14th, supplier quick cal, last cert in J:\calibration\B-204, sends you straight to the action. Then go one step further than most guides, assign an owner to each entry. Not the whole calendar, each obligation. In a one-person lab, owner just means the person will actually log in and do it that week. The reason matters. ISO/IEC 17025 is built around competence. The standard's whole logic is that a qualified person is responsible for the work, not just that the work happened. An accreditation body assesses whether the people running your system are competent to run it, which is exactly why a reminder with no owner behind it fixes nothing. This is where careful automation helps. You can use a tool to scan your calibration certificates and pull expiry dates into the calendar automatically, or to flag any obligation that slipped past its reminder without being marked done. What you don't do is let the tool decide an instrument is fit for use or sign off a competence record. It surfaces the dates. A person makes the call. Keep that line bright and you get the speed of automation without handing over the judgment the standard actually tests. Case study, when the reminders fired into a dead inbox. This example is illustrative, built from patterns common to small SA labs, not a single real client. An 11-person testing lab in the Western Cape held accreditation and ran a genuinely careful operation, but every due date lived with the quality manager. Calibration schedules in her spreadsheet, competence reviews in her diary, audit dates in her head. The risk was obvious the moment anyone said it out loud. If she was unavailable, the lab was flying blind. What changed? Over 2 afternoons, they built one shared calendar covering every recurring obligation, calibrations, internal audits, management review, SOP reviews, competence renewals, proficiency rounds, each with reminders at 30, 14, and 7 days and a named owner. They used the tool to read the calibration certificates and populate the expiry dates so they weren't typing 40 entries by hand. The result? For the first time, the whole team could see what was coming, and the quality manager stopped being a single point of failure. Nothing lapsed in the months that followed, not because the software was clever, but because someone owned each line. the friction, two things nearly sank it. First, the data migration was a grind. Pulling years of scattered records into one place took longer than the calendar setup itself, and they almost gave up halfway. Second, and worse, the early reminders fired into a shared inbox nobody actually checked, so for the first fortnight the system was technically running and practically invisible. It only started working when they routed reminders to name people, not a generic address. A reminder nobody owns is just a quieter version of the labs you already had. Frequently asked questions. We're a small lab and money's tight, do we need to buy a compliance system for this? No. The version in this guide runs on a shared Google or Outlook calendar you likely already have, plus the discipline to assign owners. Dedicated LIMS or compliance software is real and worth it once your obligation list or audit load outgrows a calendar, but prove the manual version works first. Buying software to fix a process you haven't mapped just adds cost and a login nobody uses. Our quality manager already tracks all this, why add a system? Because your quality manager tracks it is the risk, not the solution. The day they're on leave, off sick, or they resign, every due date leaves with them. A shared calendar with named owners doesn't replace your quality manager, it means the lab's compliance survives any one person being unavailable. That resilience is the whole point. If we put analyst competence and training records in this, what about POPIA? Competence and training records are personal information, so POPIA applies. Stick to the basics, capture only what you need, limit who can see it, and set how long you keep it. The specific conditions for more sensitive personal data are detailed, so confirm them against current POPIA guidance rather than assuming a calendar's default sharing settings are good enough. The cooler take. The article assumes the system is what keeps you accredited, build the automation, and the compliance looks after itself. Here's what nobody is saying. An accreditation body doesn't assess your software. ISO/IEC 17025 is built on competence, the standard's logic is that a qualified person is responsible for the work. An automated reminder firing into an inbox nobody owns isn't compliance, it's a louder version of the labs you already had. The tool doesn't carry the responsibility. A person does. So before you automate anything, name the owner. One person whose job description includes the system, who checks it every week, and who writes down how it works so it survives them walking out. That's what the standard actually rests on, not your dashboard, your discipline. The automation is real and worth building. But it only amplifies the habit sitting behind it. Weak habit, faster failure. Next week, why the lab that writes down its own mistakes passes more audits than the one that quietly fixes them.